This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
BlackRock, they're an investment company that manages $8.5 trillion, and they released a new report with some interesting conclusions about creating a successful retirement. They said, delay taking Social Security for the higher benefit, delay retirement if you have to, decrease your risk, optimize your asset allocation, and use guaranteed income products like annuities. For the most part, what's interesting about this is that they're a very pro-market company. So, John, do you find it surprising that they're recommending moves that are outside of the risk of the market?
You know, they're making that recommendation, but what happens is there's a lot of annuities. And look, I'm not the guaranteed income portion, even though interest rates are better now and it looks maybe more favorable, I just don't like the math long term of how the principal value depreciates, because most guaranteed income annuities, what happens is there's an income rider, which means there's another account value that's called an income account, pension account. They have so many different names for it. But bottom line, it typically has a guaranteed roll-up, a growth period of like maybe 5, 6, 7, 8%, whatever the number is. And so, but it's not real money that you can liquidate. And so what happens is typically the underlying investment index, cap strategy, par rate, whatever it is typically pretty low. And so what happens is a lot of these insurance agents that are offering these annuities are so fixated on this guaranteed growth of the income rider and a guaranteed income based off of that value. So typically, the insurance company is going to pay like 5%-ish. Most companies is around 5%. That's kind of like that's been the big number. And so you're getting this value that's growing, even though you're not taking anything out of it. And then you're going to get 5% of this number that's not – obviously, it's not a real cash equivalent number. And so – but this dollar value – you're going to pull off your actual cash in the account, but your cash is underperforming the withdrawal amount. And so what happens is every year, this is almost in all of them. It's not in every single one of them, but almost all of them that I see, the principal value goes down each and every year. And so that becomes a problem. So because if you have an IRA, let's say, and the provisions inside that annuity contract on guaranteed income, it only pays to the annuitant, which is the owner. And it's not like a joint ownership or a joint annuitant where, let's say, the spouse would continue that payment. And then let's say that account value goes to zero. Well, there's nothing to be inherited by the spouse. There's nothing that spouse would receive, he or she, or even that money would go to the children. So that becomes a problem. And so there's other strategies that could be used. But see, BlackRock and other like Fidelity, because you think, okay, they're pro-market, but what happens is BlackRock and Fidelity and there's a lot of different companies out there. They have what they call these beta indexes or indexes. And so insurance companies are in partnership with these investment companies, BlackRock and such, because before they were anti-annuity. But what happens is now is that they get paid by the insurance companies on options that they're buying into these indexes. So this is how they're making money. And so now they're pro-annuity, saying, hey, look, we support Nationwide and Athene and all these different companies because they have an index. Now, the bet is you hope that index actually performs, mm-hmm. which look, some do over time, but like right now we're dealing with a lot of, you know, volatility in our market. You know, since prior to 2019, most of them have been, from a conservative standpoint, like okay lucrative in a way. Since COVID started, with the volatility of the market, the way they're designed internally, a lot of those beta indexes haven't been performing well. So even though they have a big name, maybe like Goldman Sachs or BlackRock or the other ones out there, you know, you just have to look at how does it function? And realistically, I mean, sometimes if you get a high fixed account, a high cap on the S&P, a high participation rate, those things right there will outperform most, if not all, beta indexes. I mean, there's a few out there that are really, really strong, but you just got to keep in mind that guaranteed income, that's something that we have to look at. Now, they are making, in that statement that they made, delaying Social Security for a higher benefit. Well, maybe you should do that, but that depends on your situation. You got to look at, okay, if you're married, if you're single, how much money you have in other types of investments, what's your cash flow needs, how does Social Security going to integrate with your other income, and how is that money going to get taxed? So what is your net, you know, income going to be? Some people, like, it's talk about delaying retirement if needed. Now, some people are in a financial position where they, should delay because they need to grow their balances more. Maybe they need to grow back more than because of what happened in 21. They need that account value to be at a higher valuation to make sure they're pulling the right dollar figure. But the other thing too is that don't put yourself in a position where you're delaying retirement because you're making a lot of money and you have enough. During a week, I had one of our clients come in. It was just the wife. Her and her husband basically retired at the same time. She's dealing with kidney issues mm-hmm. that are, you know, gonna put her in a pinch pretty soon. But her husband now has dementia and a few other things, and they waited to retire at a later age, try to build up their savings even more. They go to retire ready to travel and ready to do all these things. And unfortunately, like the husband, he doesn't even remember his daughter's names anymore. You know, and they retired 2 years ago. And so, or we see people that pass away. So think about it. If you're, you know, if you have the financial means, you're liquid, you're basically out of debt, maybe go ahead and retire. Go enjoy yourself. Because, you know, tomorrow's never promised. We don't know how long we're going to live. And while your health is there and you have the wealth to do it, go retire. Don't delay. But understand, you know, the amount of risk that you're taking, how you're going to pay taxes, making sure you have the right, you know, allocation with your investments, looking at, you know, cash flow, where's your guaranteed income coming from? Do you have a pension? Do you have social? So look at all these things together and have priority with your money, making sure you have money allocated for emergency funds, planned expenses. Look at how much, you know, the homeowner's insurance went up, the flood insurance went up, and, you know, this is a big expense for a lot of people where, you know, their insurance could have gone up not greater than 20%. We're seeing like a 40 to 60% minimum that they went up. And so that's taking money out of your planned spending that you have. And so the other areas that we're seeing inflation as well. So we want to make sure that everybody has a good handle and their money has purpose and everything is organized, but so they can retire happy, retire and enjoy, you know, their life and do all the things that they want to do, everything that's on their bucket list. And so they can, you know, they can be fulfilled.
The advice that BlackRock is giving here really boils down to addressing longevity, people living longer and longer these days. And I don't like calling it longevity risk, but that is the factor, you know, people are living longer and longer, and maybe their money, the money that they've saved, doesn't necessarily cater itself to addressing 20, 30, maybe even 40 years you're going to be spending in retirement. And so, you know, doing things like delaying Social Security, making sure you maximize your benefits, decreasing your risk, I think these are pretty good things as advice. The guaranteed income products, as John pointed out, not necessarily going to be the right move. But sitting down and speaking with someone and figuring out what is going to work best for you, someone, you know, local who can navigate the ins and the outs, and then when changes come down the line, here to help you navigate the new climate, I think is really pivotal, but it all boils down to having that plan in place to begin with, and that is what you get with Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, Acadiana's retirement strategist, John Blanchard. To get started, you just need to pick up the phone and give a call. 366-8366 is the phone number. Once again, that's 366-8366. You can also go online, matthewjames.com. So here we are in the fourth quarter of the year, which means RMD season. Christine Benz with Morningstar reminds us there are several changes regarding RMDs, required minimum distributions, this year, beginning with the age moving up to 73.
The other thing to know is that the penalty for missing an IRA RMD is decreasing to 25%. It had been 50% of the amount that you should have taken but didn't. So that's going down a little bit. And I always say, you know, people love to hate their RMDs. Use your RMDs to improve your portfolio. So mm-hmm. take a look back, look at your portfolio's asset allocation, compare it to whatever your target is, prune your RMDs from the mm-hmm. securities that you wanted to trim otherwise. Use them as a way to make your portfolio a little bit better.
Now, John, I'm sure you've heard people say they don't need the money, but that R, the required part in RMD, means that the government does. They need the tax parts of this. So figuring out how to utilize this money, whether it is reinvesting or what have you, is this something that you guys do for your clients so that they don't have to?
Yeah, no, we do. And so, but another thing to look at too, Chris, is for people that are charitable inclined, you can do a qualified charitable distribution mm-hmm. against that RMD. So what happens is that gets to minimize the RMD that you're taking. And so that helps out too, because most people, whenever you go to church, or for, you know, listeners, if you do go to church, the typically whenever they're passing around the basket for the offering, or you're seeing people, you know, drop money in a box, or drop something in a box? I already gave the answer, but typically, what do you see people put in the basket? What it's in the form of two different things, and what do you think those two would be, Chris?
It's either cash or a check, typically.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, is cash and a check, is that a pre-tax donation or a post-tax donation?
I mean, I'm not sure how people get their cash, but especially with checks coming out of the accounts, that is definitely a post-tax donation.
Exactly. So now what happens is look, we're seeing this all the time, and I've been talking to different priests and different pastors about this, and they can talk to their congregation. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is 70 and a half and above, now this has nothing to do with an RMD, okay, this rule, it's called a qualified charitable distribution. And so I know this is not what you asked me, but I'm like, you know what? Now let me go off on one of my tangents. So with this is, if you're 70 and a half and older, you and let's say if your spouse is 70 and a half and older, you can give money directly from your IRA, from the custodian, okay? And so what happens is, let's say if your money's at Fidelity or Charles Schwab or can't say TD Ameritrade anymore, or at Vanguard, or let's say you have it at Edward Jones or Northwestern Mutual or New York Life or Prudential, whoever. And so they have a specialized a distribution form that allows for qualified charitable distributions. And so you can send the money directly from the IRA, and it goes straight to the church, to the charity, to the nonprofit. Let's say if you want to give money to St. Jude's annually, but you've been giving it out of your checkbook. Well, this way, now you can give it straight from your IRA, and it doesn't flow through your tax return, which means it's not counted for your adjusted gross income. It's not accounted in your provisional income calculation, so it doesn't make your Social Security get taxed. So what happens is you can reduce your tax bill pretty drastically using this qualified charitable distribution. So what happens is that money's going directly to the charity. It doesn't flow through your 1040. You know, we're helping people save just by taking that qualified charitable distribution and moving it directly to that charity instead of it flowing through the tax return. And so that's something that's very beneficial. Now, but like I said, to qualify, you have to be 70 and a half and over. You know, so that's the key thing. So once you hit that age, you can go ahead and take advantage of it. So all of our clients that are that age and higher, we're helping them out with that. And so they're still getting to give the way they wanted to, but now they also get the tax savings. So we have to look at, you know, things that you can do big picture on getting deductions, even though you're not working anymore, even though you don't have kids living with you anymore. We want to use the tax code to your advantage.
You know, and the great thing, another benefit to these qualified charitable distributions is qualified distributions to charity is that, yes, of course, you're getting to save some money, but the charity that you're donating to, you know, or you're giving to, they get more money because you don't have to pay taxes on it. And it has to go a certain way. You can't withdraw the money yourself and then give the money to them, because once it touches your hands, you have to pay taxes on it. It is kind of a tricky thing to navigate, and it's one of the many things that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, tax, it's right there in the name, can help you with, to make sure that your RMDs are as little as possible. You know, minimize those. If you find yourself not needing that money, make sure that you're required to withdraw as little as possible. But at the same time, if you want to use it for charitable means, the right way to go about doing that. This is RMD season, as I pointed out earlier, being in the fourth quarter of the year, where you need to make sure those withdrawals are done before the end of the year. The penalty, as Christine Ben said, has been decreased from 50%, which is high.
The penalty was 50%, but then you could actually fill out a form and then send that in, and then the IRS would waive it as long as you take it in a timely manner. So that's the big thing that you have to look at, is making sure that you get it done. But if you don't, make sure you get the proper documentation done. Now, what it's looking like from what we've been hearing is that waiver, where you would be eliminated from paying that 50% like you did before, and you don't pay any penalty, I think that's going away, and they're gonna hit you with the 25 no matter what. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, you got to make sure those things are getting done. You got to look at all your different accounts. You know, calculate the value. For most of them, you can pull out of one account to satisfy all of them, even though the different custodians might be sending you letters. But you can just notify, let them know, hey, look, just keep this on file. We pulled the RMD from XY account. And so we didn't have to pull it from this one, but we did satisfy the RMD. So the key thing is just making sure you're getting done, avoiding the penalty, and then do any advanced tax planning. Because let's say you have years until you turn 73, or if you're even younger and you have years before you turn 75, well, taking advantage of tax mitigation strategies by doing Roth conversions prior to the RMD will also help you reduce your RMD. Because over time, that amount that you have to pull out each and every year will grow. And if your account value is growing and the multiplication factor that they're using to make that RMD valuation number, you're going to be pulling out more money than probably what you need. I mean, we have people that are pulling out 150 grand a year in RMDs, and they only need 20 of it. So think about that. So they're paying, you know, an astounding amount of taxes on this money because they're having to pull it out, number one. And then from there, they want to reinvest it. So, I mean, you can't put that money back in a qualified plan. You can't stick it in a Roth, you know, once it comes out. You're only investing in what we call non-qualified individual accounts, brokerage accounts that report 1099s each and every year. Now, some people want to maybe avoid future taxation. They'll stick it inside of annuity for tax-deferred reasons. But all that growth is only going to be taxed at ordinary income. Now, look, if you put your money in certain financial instruments in banks or insurance companies like bonds or something like that, you're also going to see ordinary income as a tax rate. But bottom line, it's a matter of understanding of how to repurpose that dollar and invest it to be tax efficient moving forward in the future.
Make sure that you pay as little in taxes as possible, because even if the penalty is decreasing to 25%, 25% is still pretty substantial. So, A, make sure that if you are of RMD age, now 73, that you are taking them so you don't have to worry about that penalty. And then also, you know, in the meantime, between now and when next year or when you become RMD eligible, make sure you mitigate your taxes and make sure that when that time comes, you're paying as little as possible. Something that the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management can help you with, as I've said many times. It's right there in the name, tax management. So to get started, whether you are of RMD age right now or whether you still got some time on your side, the longer you have on your side, the more you can do, honestly. 366-8366 is the phone number. John, four members of the Iowa State football team, they found a way to make a little bit of extra money. Miles Purchase, Tyler Moore, Tommy Hammond, and Caleb Bacon, they made a NIL deal, a name, image, and likeness deal with the Iowa Pork Producers Association because of their last names. They go together well. Purchase, Moore, Hammond, Bacon. Pretty clever. Look, we can't all get paid due to our names, but it does go to show you there are other ways to generate income. Can you think of any stories, more interesting ways that clients have supplemented their paychecks in retirement?
If we're looking for like on-duty work type thing, and you know, if we're going to answer non-mailbox money type of way, I mean, look, we have a lot of people, and we had another guy come in during the week. He's like, he's about to retire, but he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go pick up a part-time job at the hardware store. And the thing is, it's not really for the money. I mean, he's going to use it for extra spending money, and it's not going to hurt his Social Security benefits. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's great.
But it's a matter of remaining social, and you know, having something to do. But it's really being social, getting out and doing things. And sometimes, you know, when people go into retirement, it's they're not. You know, they're making that big transition from when you're around a group of people all day long, and then, you know, working, having conversations, those kind of things, and then you're going to not be in that position. It might just be you, or maybe you and your spouse, and so you're not in, let's say, in your normal community like you were before. So some people decide, look, let me go do something part-time so I can at least, you know, be social, because we are, you know, as human beings, we're social human beings. So people want to get out and do things. So, you know, look, it all depends in that scenario. But, you know, the other creative things that we're seeing people do for passive, you know, income purposes is, you know, they're probably buying rights for a like a copyright. Like, these are like some out there kind of things, but they're kind of cool where they can get supplemental income. But most people go into rental properties is what we see, and they want to get something that's that doesn't take too much effort on their part, or maybe they all have always been that do-it-yourselfer, so they enjoy like fixing things when it's coming down to, like, you know, if they got a water leak, or you know, they have to do some construction work, minimal stuff, and they're okay doing it. It kind of keeps them busy. You know, it has something, you know, they have a list of things that they can do every day, but they're creating an income for their family. They're also getting added tax deductions. But then there's also people that's been doing that for years, and maybe they're looking at getting out of that, and they've always been having that passive, you know, income, but then they've been actively having to make repairs and or maybe having to deal with tenants, and they want to get out of it. But they've been reluctant to because the taxes they have to pay. And so we have a strategy that we help them out, a deferred tax strategy, where we can roll the proceeds of a sale. Instead of doing a 1031, buying more real estate to not have to worry about paying the taxes, what we're doing is we're transitioning these assets over into a specialized trust, and then we can reinvest that money in multiple different ways. And then from there, they can pull money from that trust and pay taxes on that distribution. So instead of paying taxes on the whole thing, like we have, you know, several people selling large pieces of land or real estate buildings or even businesses, and we're saving them anywhere from $700 to almost $2 or $3 million in taxes off the bat. And then 100% of that money, that proceeds, gets moved into the trust, and then we get to invest that money, let it grow, and it grows tax deferred, and they're only paying taxes on that distribution. So look, there's a lot of different ways that we can create supplemental income. We just got to figure out where you're starting from, what assets you have, how to get creative, and you know what falls into your risk parameters, what is appropriate for you.
Again, having something customized for you, whether that is a strategy to generate supplemental income, whether that is, you know, a plan to, you know, maybe withdraw more in certain years because you want to travel more or whatever your retirement dreams are, helping make them a reality comes back to having a plan. I'm going to sound like a broken record when I say that, but that is the importance. You have a plan to fall back on, a plan that is not set in concrete and you know, someone who is inaccessible when times are tough. And, you know, over the course of a 20, 30-year retirement, you're going to see challenges along the way. But having someone local and on your side, like Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, like John Blanchard, right here in the area to help you with whatever may come down the line. If the plan needs to be reevaluated and reassessed, you know, 5 years into retirement, 10 years into retirement, for good or for bad. Maybe there's a new grandchild that you want to see more on the other side of the country. Things like that. Having a plan to fall back on and working all these details in there, where the supplemental income comes from, and things like that, starts with picking up the phone, giving a call, taking the time to speak with John Blanchard. 366-8366 is that phone number. MatthewJames.com, that's the website. You know, it doesn't make sense that you can get a higher return for a one-year bond than a three-year bond, but that is actually what's happening right now. It's called an inverted yield curve, and it often signals a recession, which has been slow in coming, but money manager Paul Hickey tells Fox Business it is still possible.
Typically, when the curve first inverts till when a recession starts, the average amount is 589 calendar days, which is about a year and a half. The curve has only been inverted for almost a year now, so I wouldn't write off a recession.
Now, John, would a recession mean that you would adjust a retiree's portfolio? And if so, what would those adjustments look like?
Well, we have to look at how this inverted yield curve is playing and what is the possible future of our markets and what areas are we using to secure people's, you know, principal value. And we want to be nimble. We want to make the right decision. We want to look at what is the best rates possible. And so, yeah, we've been seeing CDs and other fixed instruments that are yielding a higher return for a duration shorter than a year or a year rather than a 3 year. Because some people think, well, look, I'm going to lock it in for 3 years. But really, those 3, 4, 5 year lock-ins, 2 year lock-ins have a lower yield than the shorter term because of this yield curve. And so, you know, I heard, I was watching a video the other day, and even Elon Musk was talking about, you know, a recession coming. And there's a lot of other people out there that have been talking about it. And look, we've been waiting for it to happen. Last year, you know, the market had a drawdown. The total year in return for the S&P was negative 19. And look, 19 point something something. But bottom line is, like, this year the market's been, you know, up and down. Overall, it's been up. But we have to look at what's really happening out there. And most of it's because of tech stocks. So that's been lifting a lot of things, even though the average investment hasn't been yielding that well. We have to look at a lot of different things, a lot of different metrics. It's election time. We're going into election year. So there's a lot of things, this whole deal with Israel. So there's a lot of things that we have to look at with oil and gas, a lot of different metrics, a lot of different decisions have to be made. And we have to look at being nimble, but being smart and looking at, okay, what is the best way to get a good yield right now for this, you know, short-term time period? I mean, we know, you know, this isn't going to last for a 20-year period. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to make a 20-year decision. You want to make a 6-month, a 12-month decision, not a 4-5-year decision. So that's the ideal thing. But even though we want to think big picture, long-term, we gotta cut things up in segments and invest that way. Not like we're going to invest it, say, okay, well, this is going to stay in place for the next 25 years. No, that's not going to work because things are going to change. We're going to see inflation change. We're going to have there's different financial instruments that basically come out, or there's financial instruments that evolve that become more lucrative for people. So we want to make sure people have access and they're capable of using these things in a timely manner whenever they become available.
Again, going back to what I was saying, you know, having a plan that is not set in concrete, that is not set in stone, something that can change as whatever may come down the line does. But you hit on a very important point there, I think, John, is that a lot of people just think of retirement as one phase of life. You know, I've got this money, and now I just have to make this money last for as long as I do, to put it bluntly. But the truth of it is that there is money. Obviously, you want to dial back the risk on those first couple of years because a market pullback could really jeopardize your retirement if you were withdrawing money that is heavily invested there, you know. But at the same time, you know, there's money that you're not going to need for 10 years. There's money that you're not going to need for 20 years. So you can think like a younger-minded investor for portions of it, but also be able to change as it comes down the line. But having that now bucket, that soon bucket, and that later bucket is something that Matthew James Tax Wealth Management does pretty much with every client. Forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn here, John, but because you want to make sure that the money is there regardless of how long your retirement is. Having that plan put in place to figure out, you know, changing the mindset. Maybe you did think that retirement was just one whole section of life. Changing that mindset, shifting it, and creating a plan that is going to be sustainable for your retirement is what it's all about. 366-8366 is how you get started with creating that plan. 366-8366 or MatthewJames.com. Usually, the recommendation is moving it to your new job's 401k or your IRA, but don't be surprised if your former employer actually asks you to keep the money with them. There's a growing number of companies asking their former employees to move their money to something that they call a managed payout fund. John, what exactly is that, and is that a good option?
Well, like, it's basically like, you know, an annuity payout where that 401k company, they're going to turn on and make a significant yield, because what they're going to do is they're going to make some investments internally to basically guarantee some of the principal, and then they're going to start hedging that money and buying options and a whole bunch of different things so they can get a significant yield. So basically, they're getting you to focus on, hey, look, we're just going to work by giving you this payout, and don't worry about the money because, you know, we're going to manage it, but we're going to give you this payment. And so they want you to be fixated on that while behind the curtains, they're making a whole bunch of money with your cash. Mm-hmm. And so I think the consumer should stay away from doing that, and you turn around and you own your IRA, you invest your IRA on what's suitable for you, the way you want it, but you can make sure that you benefit the most off the IRA, not these 401k companies that are, you know, wanting them to move in this managed payout fund. You know, look, it sounds great to a lot of people, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure that you can get the liquidity that you want, because within this managed payout fund, then in some of them you have some liquidity limitations, so that could become a problem if you need to pull more money out to pay off something. That's an issue. Then we have to look at the principal valuation over time, or having access to it, because you don't want to just worry about get a paycheck and the next thing you know you don't have a lump sum that's going to be inherited. So there's some tricks in there that you have to look at. Personally, I would look at big picture, stay away from it, because that would make sense mathematically to where you can control it. You can go, you know, you can even go self-direct with your IRA. You can invest in real estate with it, where you can, you know, leverage the banks, borrow money from them. Now, look, obviously right now interest rates are not where you want it to be. It doesn't make it as lucrative as where it was before. But look, there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of things that are available. And even, you know, for people that are worth seven figures and from an investable net worth, there's a lot of really good options that we are giving people access to that most other consumers don't have access to. And unfortunately, they don't. But ideally, you know, we don't want people just to think, well, you know, these are my only options that are available. And so what happens is we see a lot with, you know, some companies or even financial advisors, they stay within this box, this bubble, and they don't look for other things that the consumer can take more advantage of, where they get more benefit, more flexibility, more income, more opportunities. And so there's a lot of things that are out there that even some companies don't want you to know about, because that's how they make the bulk of their money.
Being able to take advantage of, you know, not take advantage of you, I don't mean to say that way, but, you know, being able to utilize your money and being able to profit off of that. You know, this is not your parents' retirement. It's not your grandparents' retirement. And so using the same old tried and true strategy may not necessarily be the right case. At the same token, you know, just because it's new doesn't necessarily mean it's good. These things like these managed payout funds, because they're becoming more and more in the spotlight, because they are new and shiny, doesn't necessarily mean that that is the right thing. What is the right thing? Well, that's going to depend from person to person, and that's what having a customized plan boils down to, and that is what you get at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. 366-8366 is how you explore the options for what's going to work best for you. You can also go online to the website, matthewjames.com. Now, the average adult, they're expected to receive roughly $700,000 in the next 10 years from their baby boomer parents as part of the Great Wealth Transfer. And of course, Uncle Sam, you know, that family member, he's going to want a piece of that. But a shocking tax bill is the last thing I think that those inheriting the money want to see. With that in mind, John, what are some ways that parents can help mitigate that, lessen what that tax bill is going to be while they're still living?
Yeah, I mean, look, so gifting while living, the IRS allows parents to gift up to $17,000 per year to a limited number of individuals. I mean, that's a gift, you know, number. So, but even if it's coming out of an IRA, you know, you still got to pay taxes on it, even though you're giving it. Now, using Roth conversions would be ideal, or Roth alternatives. And so you just have to look at maximizing your tax bracket. Now, the more money you have, the more, you know, the more you have to look at the maybe going beyond a certain tax bracket, and it has to, you know, it has to make sense mathematically. And so what we do is we run an analysis between Caleb and myself. Caleb's our in-house CPA. So what we do is run the numbers and see, okay, what's mathematically the best reason. Now, the other thing that we have to look at is who's the recipient, what is their annual income between them and their spouse. You know, if you have a school teacher receiving some money, maybe you want to give them a certain amount of IRA. Maybe you have another child that between them and their spouse, they might be in the 37% federal tax bracket right now. So we have to look at how does that work for both, you know, the receiving individuals along with the person that owns the money, the current retiree. So because what Uncle Sam sees is that you know, that individual is going to have to liquidate that account in a 10-year period. Now, if the person that owns the account is already taking a required minimum distribution, then that child that receives it has to follow that RMD schedule for the first 9 years. They can take out more if they want, but they have to follow it for the first 9 years. And on the 10th year, they have to liquidate whatever balance is in that account. And so Uncle Sam sees that for people that are children that are inheriting money, that are making a pretty good earnings for their current living right now, they're going to pay a higher tax rate on that those first 9 years of that RMD. But where the IRS is really going to, you know, take it home, like basically make the money there, is on that 10th year where they have to liquidate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because a majority of that money is going to be probably, for most people, not everybody, but for a large number of people, this is what they're banking on, is well, the current tax rate's 37, but it's going to go default to 39.6, and we expect it to go higher than that in the future. Now think about it. Right now, it's at 37%, but at a higher income valuation. Starting in 2026, it's going to be at 39.6, but at a lower income valuation. So what happens is more money is going to be taxed at a higher rate, and that's what Uncle Sam sees. So they're going to be collecting more money in the event whenever a child or children receives or inherits an IRA from a parent, because of these forced liquidations. So using Roth conversions or Roth alternatives where we can lower that tax liability. Now, there's certain Roth alternatives where you don't have a RMD. So even with a Roth account that you inherit, you still have to pull it out in 10 years. The good thing that there's no taxation on it. So, but you don't have to pull an RMD each and every year because there's no scheduled RMD on Roth accounts. So you can let that money grow and compound for up until the 10th year, and then you have to pull that money on that 10th year. But now you're getting a sizable sum of money, mm-hmm, in that 10th year, but no tax bill associated with it. Now, unfortunately, you can't take all that money and roll it into a Roth. Maybe you can roll – you can't do that at all, but you can roll it into some kind of Roth alternative or using some other strategies that are out there. So ideally, you know, what we have to do is look at your situation, look at the math, and figure out what is the most valuable transaction for you to do, or for maybe for your parents to do, or if you're the one that owns the account, you know, over, between now and then when your RMDs start, and even beyond the RMDs, and then whenever that, you know, planning for that money to be inherited, because you got to think about it. Upon your passing, your money can go in three different areas: the your children or your family, some kind of charity or nonprofit or church, or the IRS. But if you were going to choose two of the three, which two would you want to choose?
The IRS would be left in the cold for sure.
Yeah, so ideally, we got to do proper planning to make sure that takes place.
The passage of Secure Act 1.0 that eliminated the stretch IRA, that is something that didn't get talked about a lot, but that is what makes this, you know, having to withdraw that money over the course of 10 years and not over the course of their lifetime. The government was doing some planning because, you know, statistically, the people that are going to be inheriting this money, and like I said, on average about $700,000, are going to be already in a pretty in their highest income earning year. So it's going to push them into a higher bracket. And if you just go with the default, the status quo, that's what's going to happen. The government's going to be a great recipient of people's wealth, and, you know, when that is transferred. But if you do planning on your part, if you actually take action, if you do things, you can find ways to, you know, keep Uncle Sam at bay, which I think is something that a lot of people have been trying to do their entire working career. And it all starts with smarter planning and developing, not just knowing the tax rules, but being able to use them in your favor. It all starts with a phone call to the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. Figure out a way to make sure Uncle Sam gets what they're entitled to, but not a penny more. 366-8366 is the number. Online, MatthewJames.com. And as we always do, want to thank you so much for joining us today, spending part of it with us here on The Retirement Roo with John Blanchard. Hope you have a great week ahead of you. Hope this cooler weather definitely sticks around and it is here for the duration. John, as always, appreciate you. I know you got to hop out of here and go to roughly 50 sports games today, but thank you so much for taking the time. And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it, man. Look, yeah, it's going to be definitely a fun day watching sports, but I appreciate everybody that's listening to the show. If you got to listen to the full 2 hours, or you caught a little bit on the road, or maybe you're working in your shop on this, you know, this beautiful Saturday morning. But look, we're trying to bring as much information as possible, enough tips and strategies to help you benefit yourself and have a more financially lucrative retirement and lower taxation and just understanding how the financial system works. So be sure to tune in again next weekend right here on KPIL 96.5 News Talk.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529-925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529-925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.